We would like to acknowledge the Kaurna people and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and acknowledge their spiritual connection to the land on which this podcast is recorded. As part of the oldest living culture in the world, we draw inspiration from their deep knowledge of traditional foods, medicine and remedies. From the Central Adelaide Local Health Network, this is Research Pulse, where we discuss the latest world-class health research from Carlin and how it's contributing to world-class care.
Today we're focusing on a recent research discovery relating to hereditary pancreatitis, work that could help to improve the healthcare of Aboriginal Australians. Our guest today is world-renowned researcher Professor Toby Coates, Director of Kidney and Islet Transplantation at the Royal Adelaide Hospital. Toby, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Drew. Nice to be with you.
Toby, before we delve into your research, can you first give us a bit of background into exactly what hereditary pancreatitis is?
So this is a rare condition, Drew, which is caused by a set of genes that are all involved with the enzymes inside the pancreas. The pancreas is that really important organ that helps us produce digestive enzymes so we can absorb the food that we eat, but also produce the home of the insulin-producing cells called the pancreatic islets or islets of Langerhans. So it has two functions. It provides the digestive ability to absorb food, but it also provides the hormones that enable the sugar to get from your bloodstream into your cells. Now, we know that there are a number of conditions that can affect the pancreas and cause inflammation, and that's called pancreatitis. Gallstones, typically, and sometimes an excess of alcohol are the two commonest causes of pancreatitis worldwide, really. But what we found, which was very interesting, was that we have a very large number of people within our state who are First Nations people, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, who have an overexpression of these rare hereditary genes which cause pancreatitis at a very early age. So what we discovered when we started looking at this was that people who have these genes start getting attacks of abdominal pain from as early as less than the age of 10. And by the time they've reached 18, 100% of people who've got a gene that causes pancreatitis have had the symptoms. So an important clinical point is if you've got a young person who presents with abdominal pain and features biochemically of pancreatitis, it could well be one of these hereditary pancreatitis genes.
You've mentioned you observed an overexpression of the rare pancreatitis-causing hereditary genes in Aboriginal Australians. Can you tell us more about the scale of the difference compared to non-Aboriginal Australians?
When we compare this to Caucasian non-Aboriginal Australians, these genes are about 70 times more common in our First Nations people than they are in Caucasian people. So that's not to say that Caucasian populations don't have these genes, but for some reason, particularly here in South Australia, and we believe perhaps more widespread in Australia, these genes are at a higher level in our First Nations people.
That's a huge overrepresentation, I would suggest.
It is, and there are many explanations as to why this might be the case, and lots of things that we can speculate about from population genetics and indeed down to what potential advantage some of these genes may have been in the past as humans evolved.
What motivated this path of work to start with?
We've been interested for a long time in type 1 diabetes, which is the insulin-dependent diabetes that affects children and really now we've discovered most ages. It's an autoimmune condition that damages the insulin-producing beta cells. And in 2006, we became part of the Australian Islet Consortium, who provide these services to transplant the islet cells from deceased organ donors into very selected patients with type 1 diabetes. And we did this with great success, and this became a nationally funded centre program. And then in 2015, one of the paediatric gastroenterologists who works here in Adelaide rang me and said, look, I know you do pancreatic islet transplantation. Have you ever heard of a procedure called a total pancreatectomy and islet autotransplant? And I said, quite frankly, well, no, I hadn't. This is Professor Richard Cooper from the Women's and Children's, who first alerted me to hereditary pancreatitis. And what he explained to me was that this was a condition where the pancreas was damaged very early on by inflammation caused by these genes, and that one of his patients had discovered that the best way to treat this was to take the pancreas out, isolate the islet cells, give the islet cells back, and therefore remove the pain that the patient suffers and prevents them developing diabetes. He asked me, would I see this young man? And I said, yes, I'd be happy to. But when he rang me, I thought there's no way that we would be able to do such a procedure as this. But the family persisted and Dr. Cooper persisted. And so in 2015, we did Australia's first paediatric auto-islet transplant. We took the pancreas out of this young man, we isolated the islet cells and we gave it back. And the cause of his pancreatitis was hereditary pancreatitis, the PRSS1 gene, which is the commonest genetic cause of it around the world. And that's where my interest really started, because this young man was from a First Nations family. And that's how the interest began, because then we started to ask ourselves the question, okay, well, we've got one, are there any others? And once we started to look for this gene and the symptoms of this gene, we were able to find with over 127 individuals from well over 10 families in this state with this problem, and multiple members of the same family affected with the same gene. So it's a very fascinating story that's been completely under the radar here in Australia up until the study that we've just published.
You've identified the problem. What's the next step?
Well, I think there's many issues to this. These genes, then there's a set of them that cause this problem. We've discovered on the basis of the research that individual is a dominant gene, which means every member of the family is affected. And we found that some members of the families can have this gene and have absolutely no symptoms, whereas other members of the family will have very severe pancreatitis from a very early age. So that immediately prompts the question, well, what's different about one person in the family versus other people in the family? And when you see that sort of situation, usually there are other modifier genes or there are other environmental factors that potentially play on the expression of that gene and how it's going to cause a problem. So we started a study now, which is called the HEPATA study. And the aim of this study is to develop a registry to keep a track of all the patients in Australia who've got hereditary pancreatitis. And in a very select group of them, undertake that procedure that I mentioned before, the total pancreatectomy and islet autotransplant procedure. So we're aiming to study the gene, study what's going on with the gene, and then provide a therapeutic solution, which has previously not been available in Australia, to very severely affected individuals. And I hope at the end of this, in probably 4 or 5 years' time, that we'll have developed a best practice guideline for general practitioners and for gastroenterologists and paediatricians involved in the care of people with pancreatitis that helps to identify which people will benefit from either surgical intervention or potentially non-surgical intervention. That's the sort of immediate outcome from it. I guess the second sort of scientific outcomes are, I think it's a fascinating question why these genes like this should be overrepresented in different populations of humans around the world. And when we started to dig into this further, we noticed that other First Nations populations in the South Pacific and in North America also have an overrepresentation of pancreatitis in their populations. So it really does start to ask questions, are there other functions that these genes have played in the past that might have been protective for different populations under different environmental circumstances? And that leads you to all sorts of interesting possibilities for research going further forward. But the immediate practical goal is to identify the problem, raise the awareness of the problem in the general population, and particularly in the primary care as well as people involved with children, so that people get access to the right treatment and the right diagnosis early on.
Obviously, the research is going to benefit anyone who suffers from this, but I imagine this is going to particularly improve the health outcomes for Aboriginal Australians.
That's certainly one of the major goals. And I think one of the fascinating things about getting involved with this has been, meeting people and talking to the families. And you very rapidly become aware that there is virtually no recognition of this as a possibility in the general medical community. And mothers will tell you that their children have been told that they're, you know, either substance abusing or pain medication seeking when they've got pancreatitis if they're a young person that turns up at the emergency department, because people, medical practitioners and nursing healthcare practitioners, just don't think that there might be something else going on. And you have to take a good history to suddenly discover that somebody else in the family has got the same sort of symptoms and that these symptoms have started so early. So one of the key points of the paper that we've just published is to try to get recognition more broadly so that people do recognise this and then consider this as potential possibility, in particular for Aboriginal Australians if they present to the emergency department. There's certainly other populations, non-Aboriginal Australians, that have these genes as well, and it's important, I think, for all of us to recognise that as we get smarter in terms of genetic diagnosis, many conditions that we previously weren't able to ascribe a cause to, we will find there will be genetic or other factors that potentially are causative, and we'll be able to pin things down a lot more precisely. And why I think that's important is that once we know what causes something, then we're much closer to being able then to discover new cures. Because when you look now and you realise that there are genetic causes of specific conditions, there's a whole range of medications that have been developed, often for completely unrelated conditions, that might potentially have repurposing ability for diseases like this. The more we understand, the greater the potential diagnostic and therapeutic possibilities for all of us exist in the future.
Professor Toby Coates, Director of Kidney and Islet Transplantation at the Royal Adelaide Hospital, thank you for sharing what you found today, and all the best for your ongoing research, and thanks for spending time with us on this Research Pulse podcast.
Thank you, Drew.
Thank you for listening to Research Pulse. For more episodes in this series, find us and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear your feedback, so please leave a comment or rating and share this series with your colleagues and friends. If you'd like to contact us, you can find an email address in this episode description. This podcast was developed by the Central Adelaide Local Health Network.